with you,
I would draw your attention to the fifth chapter of the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 5, if you're able to, would you stand with me this morning as we read from God's Word? I'm going to begin reading with verse number 13 of Joshua 5. Some of you may remember this text from a few months back, and I made mention then that sometime I might finish that. And so, well, perhaps here we are this morning to finish it. Verse number 13, "And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us, or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out, none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, See, I have given into thine hand Jericho, and the king thereof, and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns, and the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him." Father in heaven, thank you this morning for your blessings and your presence that we've felt in this service. Help us now as we look to your word. I pray that you would give us the help that we need, both as speaker and as listener. Touch us for Jesus' sake. We'll bow and give you the praise. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. In homiletics class, we were taught that there's more than one way to preach, more than one style. Perhaps the most, the most enjoyable is what is called the topical sermon. The kind that takes a text and then a topic and goes off somewhere. Brother Archie Atwell Sr. used to say that his text was his launching pad, because he never knew where he was going to take off to and where he'd come back to. Just some place to launch from. This is probably considered more than any kind that I've ever preached a topical message. It was on July the 15th, you might recall, that I started this, talking about Joshua taking over the reins of leadership for the children of Israel. Moses had led the children of Israel for 40 years. They had wandered for that time. Now it was time to cross over in the land of Canaan, and Moses had died. Not only had Moses passed away, but if we study it carefully, it appears that everybody, every one of the adult men that came out of Egypt also had now passed away, except for Moses, Joshua, and Caleb. The reason why everyone else had passed away was because they were all of the discouraged side. They didn't follow after Moses. They didn't pursue what God had intended for them. They doubted. And so for 40 years, waiting for these doubters to pass off the scene of action, they wandered in the wilderness. Now it's all said and done. Joshua is to take them and lead them into Canaan. He has been charged by Moses to carry on, and here in this passage, the last part of chapter number 5, we find that he's now charged also by God. The same kind of a charge that he gave to Moses. Joshua had been Moses' right-hand man for some time. He hadn't caused Moses any problems. He had been right there to learn, and he learned well. But as I venture off into the topical side, into the imaginative this morning, I wonder how many times, as I've seen humanity's reaction now for a number of years, as I've watched, sometimes from the sidelines and sometimes not so much the sidelines, but I've watched the reactions of people, I can't help but think that maybe there were some people among the children of Israel that had a little bit of a problem with such a young man as Joshua leading them. Especially, the very first thing that seems to take place is this attack, this grand military attack on Jericho. Everybody in their right mind knows that this is not the way to proceed to take this strong city. You don't just march around it, Joshua. How in the world do you ever expect to win against such a tremendous city, a powerful city, a strong fortress as the city of Jericho? How are you going to win? What kind of a war is it going to be? Now, I know it didn't happen this way. But in my mind's eye, I can't help but picture that maybe Joshua said, "Listen, we're going to do it this way. I've met with the captain of the Lord's host. We're going to do it this way. I want you to meet me all out here tomorrow morning at a certain time, and I will give you some motives for marching." I believe that the motives that he could have given to them to march around Jericho would be the very same motives that we might need today to continue to march. Apparently, they thought it was a good enough plan. And so they showed up the next morning at the proper time. They assembled themselves and said, "Okay, Joshua, what is it? Why should we do this? Why should we march the way you're saying that we should march?" Joshua, without batting an eye, looked at them and said, "Because we've been delivered from Egypt's bondage. Because we have been delivered from Egypt's bondage." Do you remember what we had to deal with back in Egypt's bondage? Do you remember the daily whippings? Do you remember the taskmasters? Do you remember all of the abuse that had to come to our wives and to our children and all the wicked things that the Pharaoh had done to us? And sure, you may have had the leeks and the garlics, but we didn't have the benefits that we have now and what we're going to have as we progress in this way and to do what God wants us to do. Do you realize how blessed we are that we have been delivered from Egypt's bondage? You get to wondering nowadays about a lot of things that are around us. As a matter of fact, the Scripture gives to us the indication that there's a part of humanity that looks at the sinner and the prosperity of the sinner. But the Scripture tells us that we shouldn't look at the prosperity because the sinner's prosperity is only short-lived. But we have the blessings of God that are poured out upon us in that we have been delivered from Egypt's bondage. That's something worth getting excited about. That's something worth continuing to march on forward for. Okay, Joshua, that's not a bad motive. That's a good one to start with. Do you have anything else for us? Joshua looked at him and said, "Yes, do you remember Rahab?" What do you mean, do you remember Rahab? Well, we told Rahab that we were coming for her. We told Rahab that our God was so good and God was the best thing that ever happened to us. And this way of holiness is the best way. There's nothing sad about this way that we walk. Do you remember what we told to Rahab? We told her that God would be all that she needed Him to be. You say, well, what does that have to do with us? Well, there's some Rahabs around us. Family, friends, neighbors, acquaintances, those that we have told that this is the best way. I've got some family members of my own that are outside of the ark of safety, as it were. They're in Jericho, perhaps. I remember telling my oldest brother before that this was the best way. I don't care what anybody tries to tell me. I don't care what kind of arguments they throw up at me. I don't care if they do try to say, well, you'd go this way just because that's the way you were raised. That's one of the things that he told me one time. And I said, oh no, I've found out that this is the best way. This is the best way. There's nothing better in all of this world. Our God is so good to us. He's so good to me. Do you remember Rahab? We told her that we were coming for her. We told her that God was so good and that He would meet all of her needs. If there's anything in this world that would discourage you from running this race or walking in this marching of conflict against sin and to think that it's not really of any value or of any use, remember the Rahabs that are around you, the Rahabs of your lives, the people that you have spoken to and said, this is the best thing going. Okay, Joshua. God has been good to us. He has delivered us out of Egypt's bondage. We did tell Rahab. And God has been good to us in this way. Is there anything else? If Joshua was any kind of a leader at all, and I believe that he was, perhaps Joshua would look back at them and very carefully, very quietly say that we need to continue to march for those that can't march for themselves. You say, well, what are you talking about? It's so fitting this morning in some ways. But if we get tired and discouraged about marching this way, we need to look around us at those that can't march for themselves this morning. You say, well, what are you talking about? Some of you that are sitting here this morning, all that you know about the church and the pastorate is Brother Gibson. He's been your only pastor until the last few months. Brother Gibson can't march this morning. But I can't help but think that as Brother Gibson is lying there in the hospital, if it were to come to him that one of his spiritual children from this church is following God and is doing what God wants him to do, it would well up within him a spirit of worship and praise. And I don't know Brother Gibson well enough, but I dare say there might even be a tear or two that would trickle down his cheek as he would think about the goodness of God and how he has helped people that have come up under his ministry to serve God. Now Brother Gibson can't march this morning, but it's up to us to continue to march for those that have marched for us or those that can't march for themselves anymore. There's other people that are around us. There's other people that we're acquainted with. There's people that we know of that are struggling this morning. They're down perhaps. They're physically down. Sometimes they may even be spiritually down. We need to continue to march for their behalf or on their behalf for their benefit. Story's been told by a preacher friend of mine that pastors down in Madisonville, Kentucky. He was in Vietnam. Things were rough. Didn't hear a whole lot from the home side, from the States, from parents, moms and dads. But one day Gary Hall said he received a little love package from his mother. Inside that love package was all kinds of goodies, cookies, brownies, snacks to eat on. Oh, it was a highlight of the whole week. It was the best thing that had happened to him while he was there at Nam. Just after he opened the package and saw what was inside it, the captain, the leader of the group came by and said, everybody up and packed, we're leaving at such and such a time. We have a long ways to march before we have our ambush to get set up. The captain looked down at Gary Hall's little package that he had from home that he just received just moments before, and he said, "Hall, you can't take it. Throw it away." Gary Hall said, "Oh, sir, please. Please, it's a love package from Mom. I'd love to be able to take it along with me. I know that I can carry it." "No, sir, Hall, you can't take it. You can't take it with you. We've got a long ways to march. It's going to be a very difficult time getting through where we need to go. You don't have room to carry anything else." He said, "Sir, if it's all the same to you, I'd like to try." He said, "Suit yourself, but I can assure you, you won't be able to make it." They got everything packed up, and at the proper time, they started on their march through the jungles, making their way to their ambush site. Time went on, and he shifted from one hand to the other hand, trying to be able to ease the load from that little package that seemed to gain weight as they progressed through the jungle. The guy behind him noticed that he was struggling carrying the box, and he said, "Hall, let me carry it for you for a little while." "Oh, no, I can make it." So they continued to carry it, and he passed it from hand to hand. And finally, the guy behind him said, "Again, Hall, let me carry it for you for just a little bit and give you a little bit of a rest." And so he passed it back to him, and the next guy carried it for just a short time as he began to notice the weight of this little box increasing as he passed it from hand to hand. Somebody beside him or behind him said, "Here, let me help you for a little bit," and carried the box just a little bit further up the path. And as they went, they continued to pass it from person to person, everybody taking a little bit of time to help Gary Hall to carry his little box of goodies from home. They got to where they were going. They set up camp. They had a little bit of time of rest before the point of ambush had to be set. Gary Hall gathered the guys around him. He said, "Hey, you've helped me carry it. You've helped me get it to this point." He said, "Now, let's enjoy the proceeds of this box that came from Mom's cooking, came from Mom's kitchen." It's a little bit like that this morning, that we need to get up underneath those who are weary and those that are down. We need to get up underneath those that are not able to march, and we need to do our part to carry them and to march for them and to lift them in the time of the conflict, in the time of the battle, and to lift them over that time of weakness perhaps that they may experience. There's some that may have fallen by the wayside. They're fatigued because of all the strain and the stretch. You know, there was times in the lives of the children of Israel that they had the rock that delivered them water. I wonder how many of some of those people went and retrieved a little bit extra water, more than what they anticipated that they would need, looking for the time when somebody, one of their comrades, one of their fellows, brothers or sisters, that would become a little weak or a little bit dehydrated, and they had a little bit extra to give to their fallen. We're a blessed people that we are here in America. We are right here in Indiana, a blessed people. We have revivals, we have camp meetings, we have church open three times a week and more times to go to other places if we so desire. We have the opportunities to saturate ourselves and to fill ourselves with all kinds of good times together as we worship God. It's not a bad thing to stash just a little bit extra back inside for the time when we might run into somebody who needs a little bit extra. As you're driving the roads of the United States, you may come across the sign that reads, "Soft shoulder ahead." Sometimes it seems it's like around the holiness movement, around the holiness church, many times it's the sign that reads, "Cold shoulder ahead." What we need is a sign around our homes and around our lives that says, "Soft shoulder. Here's one that you can lean on. Here's one that you can pour out your burden to. Here's one that you can cry a few tears on." Oh yes, sometimes that may get difficult. Sometimes that may get old. But here's a soft shoulder. Here's one to lift, and here's one to encourage, and here's one to share a little bit of the load and to carry a little bit of your load and your burden. You say, well, I don't have anything to say. I don't know what to tell a person like that. You know, most of the time, 99% of the time, perhaps you don't have to say a word. It's just simply sit there and listen to what their problem is or their problems are. Whatever the case might be. Okay, Joshua, you've given us some pretty good ones here so far. Do you have anything else? Well, the fourth one is similar to the third. Not only should we march for those that can't march for themselves, but we need to be marching for those that marched for us. I'm talking about those that have passed off the scene. You know, Moses is highly looked up to, and he's gone now. Y'all loved Moses. Moses wouldn't want us backing down at this point. He'd want us to keep on going. We need to continue marching for those that marched for us. Who are you thinking about right now? Former pastors of years gone by, Sunday school teachers. Maybe even some are talking and thinking about Bible school professors or even the staff at Bible schools. I'm so grateful this morning. I wouldn't be where I'm at if it wasn't for some of the professors and the staff that was at the Bible school that I attended. Sometimes we get in our mind that Bible school is all peaches and cream directly delivered from heaven. It's not always that way. Maybe the school that you went to was, but I doubt it. You know, there's opportunities for a tangent or a detour. Ralph Day. Grandma Gibson knows Ralph Day. Some of you others may know him. Came up to me. He was my father as I was away from home. Took me under his wing. Came up to me, put his arm around my shoulders and said, "Son, are you really sure that that's the direction you want to take?" I need to continue marching for those who march for me. I can look at other names. You can think of those names. I can think of names like Andrew Whitney, who marched. Henry Leeler, who marched. Henry Taylor, who marched. Some of you know the name Victor Glenn, who marched, so that so many others could follow in his footsteps. I can think of Roy Dorsett and Eugene Gray, G.I. Straub and Paul Miller, and on the list of names can continue to grow for those who marched in my place for me so that I would have a heritage and so that I would have a path to walk on, so that I would know the way to heaven. And if there's anything that we get discouraged about in this life and would make us think, well, we're not really doing anything good and there's really not a whole lot of sense, we need to continue to march for those that marched for us so that when those that come behind us can also see that this is a place and this is a way worth marching for. And when we're marching, we need to march in unity. Do I need to repeat that? As we're marching, we need to march in unity. I don't like the way you comb your hair. I don't like the way you do that. We need to march in unity. All right, Joshua, you've given us four good motives for marching. Let's get marching. So they line up and they begin their march. Now, it's told to us by historians that the march around Jericho was 2 hours long. How many of you would like to go out today and start marching in formation the first day for 2 hours? You weren't allowed to talk. You weren't allowed to say anything. You weren't allowed to take your MP3 or your iTunes or anything of that sort. You weren't allowed to take your iPod. You weren't allowed to take any of that with you. It's just simply quiet marching. At least as quiet as marching can be. 2 hours. And they did that for 6 days. But on the seventh day, you know, the number seven is the number for completion, the number for perfection. And so we find on the seventh day they were to march around the city of Jericho 7 times. 7 times. Have you done the math already? On that seventh day, they were to march for 14 hours. That's longer than it's even daylight nowadays. But they've marched. They're coming around the last corner. Joshua sees the end in sight. He crosses over that finish line to where he has now completed that 14th hour. He has now completed the seventh lap on the seventh day. And he looks behind him and he sees that there are people that are following in his footsteps who are getting weary. I can think of it this way, that our heavenly Joshua is leaning over the banister of heaven. And he's looking down upon us this morning with eyes that are tender towards our circumstances and our situation. And I'm sure that Joshua, the earthly Joshua, didn't do it this way. But it's a good thing for my imagination to take off and to think about it, because I do believe that our heavenly Joshua is doing it this way. And I can't help but think that Joshua stood back from the crowd as they continued to pass on. And he said, come on, keep on going. You just have a short distance yet. It's almost over and we're going home. He looks on further back the line. And it's showing that the people are showing the signs of fatigue, and they're getting wobbly and they're staggering, and it's been a long, hard trek, and there's still no victory in sight. I would think that would add to the pressure. That would add to the weight of the little box, if you please. Come on, folks, keep on marching. This is the last lap. It's the last leg. It's the last hour. You're almost done. Almost time for the sound of the trumpets. Now it's still in the faith, it's still in the eye of faith that they're seeing and understanding that when the trumpets sound and the shout descends, that's when the victory was supposed to come. And it's by the eye of faith that we continue to march today, realizing and understanding that when the trumpet sounds, that's when our victory comes. We may not experience the tremendous victory that we're looking for right here and now, but we're almost done. We're almost over. It's almost to its completion point. One thing I notice here is that it's the 14th hour. I remember hearing as a child that we were in the 12th hour of the universe, of the world. It's approaching the midnight hour. I wonder if maybe we are in overtime. I don't know how much longer it's going to be. I don't know how much longer he's going to wait before he sends the signal to the angel to blow the trumpet. And our heavenly Joshua comes and takes us home victorious. But we need to keep on marching, because we're on the last lap, the last leg of the journey. The end surely is just in sight. There's some that are sitting here under the sound of my voice this morning that perhaps by natural means and by natural occurrence, they are looking at that last point a little bit closer, a little bit further up the line than what some of the rest of us are. But I can tell you, it doesn't matter where we are in the lineup. It doesn't matter where we are in the age bracket. We need to continue this march, because it is almost over. We sang the song in the Sunday school hour, I Feel Like Traveling On. There were some words in that song that stuck in my mind, or that struck me a little bit as I was listening to them and singing a few of them myself. And I was scratching that a little bit on my paper as we were singing. How important it is and how real it is. We feel like traveling on. There's problems around us, but it's almost over. And we are going home. Moms and dads, keep on marching. Moms and dads, keep on marching. I realize that it may be getting more and more difficult to have protective custody over our children against the enemy. I'm reminded of the words many times of Dr. Alan Brown when he said, Satan will have our children unless we do something to stop him. Keep on marching, moms and dads, for the sake of our kids. Keep on marching, Sunday school teachers. Keep on marching, boys and girls. Everybody, keep on marching. We're almost over. We're in the 14th hour, and it won't be long till we see our heavenly Joshua welcoming us across the finish line. I realize that Joshua did not do that in that day, but I can see our heavenly Joshua doing that very thing for us. And I believe that He's giving to us the same motives for marching that perhaps could have been given back then. You say, well, what is that? What kind of a motive is there for us to march on? We're delivered from Satan's bondage. Remember the Rahabs that we said how good God was to, how we said to those Rahabs around us that this is the best thing that we've ever been involved with. We need to continue to march for those that cannot march for themselves. We need to continue to march for those that marched for us. And we continue to march because it's almost over. And our heavenly Joshua is rising from his seat, from the side of the heavenly Father, cheering us on. Come on, son. Come on, daughter. Come on, moms, and come on, dads. Keep on marching. Time is almost over. Are you discouraged this morning? Do you see it from time to time that things get difficult, that things get hard, that things get weary? Keep on marching. Let's stand together this morning.